I live with Nate. Many of you know that. I've actually preached at Park Street, I think, two or three times now. And every time I brought a joke or a story or something that happened when we lived together. And this past time he said, hey, I'm going to be running. I need your help. Can you come preach? And I was like, oh, yeah. I thought we were past telling stories and jokes and like insider tales from 206 East 10th Street here in Ashland. And I actually said, like, I'm running out of gas with that. It's time to just preach the word. And then he gave me a dead battery. Right? Like, it wasn't me. It wasn't user error. It was the battery that he left up here. And so I'll pick up on the next time he invites me. I'm going to just bring a whole series of stories about Nate as a young 20-something. So, but I want to open reminding us where we have been and where we are going. Pastor Nate has been walking us through a series during this 50-day liturgical season of the Christian calendar that spans from Easter Sunday to Pentecost Sunday. And the series emphasizes where, and more importantly, who we give our attention to, namely Jesus. There's an accompanying resource with the sermon series, John Mark Comer's resource book, website, curriculum, Practicing the Way. There's a class happening right here at Park Street at 10:30 in the morning. It's really helpful. What does it look like for us to give our attention, orient our lives around being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did? When I first started at Ashland University, Lainey gave you my titles. The only one I was missing was university chaplain, and that just kind of covers it all. But when I started in the fall, this August, I met with Nate. Nate's a friend of mine, and he said, like, here's the list. Here are like the top 10 people I think you need to meet with right away. And almost like every person in leadership at AU was like, here's the list. They gave me like the 5 to 10 people that I should meet. But this was a list or like with some Park Street overlap, AU Park Street. And he said, this individual loves the Lord. So like some of you like, did I meet with you already? Were you on the list, right? A number of you, hopefully all of you, check that box, and hopefully I can spend some time with all of you. But the individual that I met with that Nate suggested is actually the moderator of the board at Park Street and the director of marketing at AU, Kyle Howenstein. I'm a big fan of Kyle. He was like, yeah, don't talk about me today. Like, just let me fly under the radar. And he's super humble, but he loves the Lord. And I just need to share this encouragement because some of you know the late Don Reinhardt. And there's a handful of people in my life that I've met and have met so far at AU that kind of pull on some of those characteristics of Don Reinhardt. They're very pastoral, humble, the way they carry themselves. And Kyle's actually one of those people that I love interacting with because he exemplifies those characteristics. At our first meeting that I was in the Lyceum Cafe, and I'm talking with Kyle, and I'm like, okay, what's the marketing campaign? Well, how can I help? Like, what videos can we create? And he said, the idea that I want to see unfold this year is how do we share stories well? And not just stories of like what happens if you come here, you get your degree, you get your job, but the focus is actually on the process, the journey. And so AU collaborates with Vinyl Marketing, and they have this video that I saw for a brief moment of time. It was like a sponsored video on Instagram. I had to hunt for this video, okay? Don't show it yet, but the opening question is this. When I grow up, I want to be, right, blank. And students give kind of the aim, the trajectory, the end goal. Like, I'm here to get a degree so that I can become a doctor, so that I can become a coach, so that I can become an educator. I want you to watch the video. It's about a minute long where that question is asked to students. And then there's a shift in the video that I think is really helpful with where we're going today. And so can you play that? Thanks.
I wanted to be a third grade teacher.
I wanted to be an NFL player.
Since fifth grade, I've wanted to be a surgeon.
I wanted to be a paleontologist.
I wanted to be a doctor, and then I wanted to be an author.
We're brain there.
And then I wanted to be an engineer. I wanted to be a geologist. I wanted to go to the army.
A cowboy.
I wanted to be a pilot.
I want to be a cop.
I wanted to be a model when I was a kid.
I wanted to work at McDonald's.
A train conductor.
Either an astronaut or a monster truck driver.
I low-key wanted to be everything.
I want to be a hardworking person, and I want to be a moral person.
I want to be a lawyer, so that's the plan.
I like to think that I became a leader.
Right now, I'm becoming my own person.
I go up day by day trying to make someone else's life better.
I'm going
to
be a physical therapist.
Being around people of the Ash community, it's really like shaped me to a better person, I feel like.
which has made a really big impact on my life. The entire chemistry department is incredible. Professor Dave McCoy, he pours into his students so much.
The academic advisors, I've been fortunate enough to have a really good one that I kind of consider like my mom when I'm at school.
Herb Holman, he's my primary criminal justice professor. He used to be a state patrolman himself, and so I get a lot of experience from him, and just his knowledge overall has taught me a lot over the past couple years.
It feels like a family, like everyone's here to support each other and like always say your success is my success as well, and that's just why I picked Ashland.
This is a scholarship fundraiser, so it's not time for tithes and offerings here to donate to that. That campaign's already passed, but I love the two questions, and I want you to think about them today. Like, what did you want to be? Where do you see yourself at? Dreams, aspirations. But the second question that's asked in that video kind of wrecks me. It's the haunting question. It's the shift type of question. Who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? In middle school, I became a Christian. I said the prayer. I tackled to-do lists. I went to church. I got baptized. I did Bible reading and prayer. I got it. I've got Jesus. I get to go to heaven. I am a Christian. That is like the aim. But that question, who am I becoming? Not focused on the end, but the process, the journey. That's helpful. Who are you becoming? And it's not just a question for Ashland University students, but it's actually a question for all of us that you are actually always becoming. You are always arriving. And it's probably one of those tension points. Just when you thought that you arrived, you realize that the journey continues. Maybe you're like me and you set benchmarks in your life. Like once I get out of high school, once I get out of college, once I get married, once I secure A, B, or C, then I'll finally have arrived. And then you get to that point and you realize the journey continues. Once I overcome this thing, I'll finally have become what I wanted to become or arrived in the way that I wanted to arrive. And the reality is the journey continues, that you are always growing. You are always being shaped. You are always being formed. And that's all of us. John Mark Comer's second chapter in his book, Practicing the Way, is titled, Become Like Jesus. Here's his definition for that. He describes this as a process over time of being formed into a person of love in Christ. Let me just say that again. Comer describes becoming like Jesus as a process. Wait, I growing up, I just thought I said the prayer. What else do you want from me? You can write about me in your newsletter that you send out to the church community, okay? What do you mean this is a process over time? And that I'm being formed into a person. Wait, I am a person. No, wait, I'm being formed into a person that loves, of love that is in Christ. And this is discipleship. Being formed into the likeness of the one that you give your attention to, right? Because what you give your attention to is the person that you become. And Pastor Nate said this a number of times in different ways over the last couple weeks. Discipleship is not about getting more information, more doctrine, more programs, but it's about transformation. It's actually about becoming. We become like the one we follow, and we actually change. And the beautiful thing about the Christian story and following Jesus is it leads to life and life abundant. I want to dig in this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 15 through 21, to focus on the one that we give our attention to and what it means to become and what is this process of becoming that it's not only John Mark Comer describing it, but the Apostle Paul in the Corinthian correspondence describes this as well. Starting in verse 15. And Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Let me just say that again. Those who live should no longer live for themselves. Because of that first part, because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. The second part of verse 15, but for him, you will live for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, one with God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to unpack this passage in a couple of different ways with you this morning, and then get to a practical piece that connects us back to practicing the way and what it means to become like Jesus at the end. First, let's be mindful here. We haven't talked about the Corinthian correspondence the last couple of weeks. And so the context, Paul is writing to the Christian community in Corinth. And if we become what we give our attention to, those in Corinth, they definitely need to pay attention to what Paul has to say. Corinth is like the attention, distraction, temptation, Vegas on steroids, city of bright lights. If you want your attention to be haphazard and go in 100 different directions, move to Corinth in the ancient world, okay? It's a place of affluence. It's a major trade route. People want to fight over it. People want to control it. Doesn't matter if you're the Greeks, the Persians, the Romans. This is a central place that you want to be. It's right on the beautiful coast of the Aegean Sea. On the other side, you have the Ionian Sea. I mean, this is fertile location. There's crops, there's goods, there's people. Everybody's coming and going, different cultures merging right here in Corinth. If you're interested in worship, there's plenty of things to worship. You have the Temple of Apollo, which would have been pretty old news. By the time Paul gets there, it's still standing today if you want to go. You have the temple on the Acro-Corinth to Aphrodite, the goddess of love. Ooh, right? So you can guess what's happening there. Lots of temple prostitution. It's not random that the Corinthians, they get the moniker, act like a Corinthian. They just kind of act like animals on their lust. Their attention is all over the place and probably on the wrong things. Sexual promiscuity is rampant. And you might be worried about screens today, but I'm just telling you, Corinth was Las Vegas on steroids, right? Those in this community that Paul's writing to, they are being shaped. They are being formed by who and by what, and I would just suggest by everything. Everything around them is shaping them. And Paul says this, let me get your attention. And maybe you feel this way about our current culture, that everything around you, and it is, the things you give your attention to, it is shaping you. And I love this. Paul says, let me get your attention. He starts with this, because of Jesus' life, because of Jesus' death that was for all, verse 15, and because of Jesus' resurrection, you need to pay attention. Listen to the phrases that I read here in 2 Corinthians 5. Jesus died for all. You've been reconciled through Christ. Your identity is not in your sinful nature, but you are reconciled to God. Because of what Jesus did, you might become the righteousness of God. The starting place for becoming like Jesus is to turn your attention to who Jesus is. Please note that it wasn't who Jesus was, but who Jesus is because Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. Several weeks ago, Pastor Nate stated this, and I have a slide with him. It looks like he just finished a race, and he's given that, like, I'm the champ, I finished the race. This is my best job at doing slides like Nate, okay? I even removed the background, but you can tell it was hastily done, and maybe AI could have helped me. Nate didn't even fix it. I sent him these slides. I thought for sure he's going to like try to fix it up a bit. But I love that he said this, and I actually think this is like the number one thing he said in the last couple of weeks. If you don't get this, nothing else that I'm going to say is going to make sense today. Several weeks ago, Pastor Nate said this: the primary message of Christianity is not an invitation, but it's a declaration that Jesus is Lord. All are welcome to submit to the saving Lord, Jesus Christ. And it's not a was, but Jesus is the Lord. If we're going to talk about becoming like Jesus, we have to recognize who Jesus is as we turn our attention to Jesus. If Jesus is Lord, Apollo in Corinth is not. Aphrodite is not. If Jesus is Lord, the Apostle Paul is not. St. Peter is not. If Jesus is Lord, current political leaders are not. If Jesus is Lord, fill in the blank, money, affluence, power, all the things we put in that box, it's not. If Jesus is Lord, one of the most freeing things I've ever heard is this: that you are not, and I am not. So I'm asking the question again, who are you becoming? This feels like the time where like Nate has a really funny story and he does like that change of pace thing and uses another voice and maybe even asks for feedback, but I'm just going to keep going, okay? I feel a bit convicted about this. I'm like, who are you becoming? I'm okay, man, it's Sunday morning, it's 9:30, we just had coffee. But I need you to hear this morning, because this is not the message that I hear regularly in the world that I live in, that Jesus is Lord. The cultural trends tell us that you need to become your true self, and then you'll be happy. That you need to be attentive to the best version of yourself. Paul tells the Corinthian church, no, Jesus is Lord. And because of Jesus who died for all, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, you no longer live for yourself, but for Jesus who has saved you from sin and has defeated death. I love the way that brethren leaders frame this up. Nate said this too from the pulpit a couple of times. He's at the bottom here, right? Who are you becoming? You were saved by Jesus. Yes, I am a Christian. I made that confession with my mouth and I believe in my heart, Romans chapter 10, when I was in middle school. But I am being saved continually, ongoing discipleship and growing in Christ. And yes, at the end of time, you will be saved, united with Christ. And this saving relationship is not only about getting from point A to point B, get saved, move on one day from earth to heaven, but Paul reminds the church that they actually have a call to participate, that this is an active relationship with God, that you are being saved. If one has allegiance to Jesus as Lord, you get to participate in the kingdom journey. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. I actually wish Nate would have given me all of 2 Corinthians, and we could walk through the entirety of this letter, because ambassadors for Christ isn't the first time that Paul makes this argument. Jesus is Lord, here's how you live. Jesus is Lord, here's how you live. If you go back to chapter 2, Paul uses procession, parade imagery, and says, because of who Jesus is, you get to participate, and you are the aroma of Christ. Chapter 2, 14 through 17. And that aroma, you either bring life to the places where you go, or you bring the stench of death, right? Chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, Paul uses participation imagery, that we are a letter, that we are a letter from Christ written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God on our hearts. And guess what? That letter is read by everyone. So what are people reading? What are people smelling? How about chapter 4, verses 1 through 12? We are clay jars. We actually carry the gospel, the light of Christ, to the places God calls us. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Love that language. Throughout this whole letter, if Jesus is Lord, this shapes how you live. Chapter 5, we are Christ's ambassadors. Ambassadors, official representatives sent into the world. And I would argue this, that if you are in Christ, you are an ambassador for Christ. But I want to reframe it this way. You are also becoming an ambassador for Christ. You are growing as an ambassador for Christ. Okay, ambassador, got it. I mean, it's not the title that I typically think of as a Christ follower, but scriptures call us that. And I'm not sure if I have this fully figured out. So how does one become an ambassador? I wasn't an Ashbrook scholar. I used to meet on the library on AU's campus. I didn't take many political science courses. I know nothing about ambassadorship. Or I assume you take classes and there's an application on the government website and you get a political science degree and you form your network. And maybe some of those pieces are true. But actually, when I looked it up, no, that's not how you become an ambassador. You can't do it, right? It's an appointed position in the United States. You are appointed by the president and confirmed by the U.S. Senate. You actually don't get to claim the role. Now, if there's social studies teachers here, Ashbrook professionals, like, you can challenge me afterward, but I found this on ChatGPT, no, Google. You don't get to claim the role. You are entrusted with it. You can't earn it. You can't achieve it. You are appointed. Similarly, for ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, identity is given to those who abide. Nate's sermon from last week. It is not achieved or earned. It flows from being reconciled with God. You are entrusted with this role. As a follower of Jesus, this is what you've been called to do. You've been appointed as ambassadors. John Mark Comer says it this way: you cannot represent Jesus well without becoming like him, without spending time with him. In fact, Paul states this very similarly in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. Represent Jesus. You have a call, an appointment that you've been entrusted with. You are an ambassador for Jesus. Reminds me of Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Clothe yourselves with Christ. Represent Jesus. Well, how can I control this? How can I make sure that I actually represent Jesus, that I'm becoming like Jesus? Well, I need you to hear this today, this morning. It doesn't start with you. It doesn't start with you. Just as salvation is by God's grace, sanctification or spiritual formation is also God-initiated work. We don't control our formation. I know in the upcoming weeks, Jason's going to talk about practices. Nate's going to talk about practices. What does it mean to do things Jesus did? But I just need to say this. We don't control our formation. We actually participate with God in being formed. Like, no offense, but you haven't resurrected anything. Jesus is the risen Lord. We're a people that's led by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit points us to Jesus. Jesus is Lord, and we are becoming ambassadors. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as a helpful way to break this down again. Paul plants seed, Apollos waters it, but it's God who brings about fruit. Right? God initiates the becoming process. I think I've tried to own too much of that rather than recognize that God's already been at work doing that, and I've been shaped even from my early days in the womb. One final aspect of 2 Corinthians 5, 15 through 21 that continues to stick out to me is this. It's a communal letter. It's written to the church in Corinth. Jesus died for who? Just me individually? No, it says all. God reconciled us. God gave us the ministry. God gave us the message. We are Christ's ambassadors. And so not only what am I becoming, but what are we becoming? What is Park Street becoming? A few months ago, I read through a New York Times bestseller. You can put it up here, Abby. Some of you might have owned this copy of this book. It's A Brethren Witness in the 21st Century, edited by two locals. You could actually buy this on Amazon. So it's not just like in-house published. Like, this is out there. edited by Dr. Jason Barnhart. Some of you might know him. And Reverend Bill Ludwig, who's the pastor at Five Stones Community Church. And there's a chapter around page 131. Do you know that your pastor, Nate, he's published? I actually quote him as Morgan County's finest or best. And he talks about this communal nature of discipleship and apprenticeship. He says, if we flatten the concept of discipleship merely to an intellectual exercise, like just know things and then you'll grow, we actually, sure, you can have some measure of success on your own, that you've checked the boxes, but apprenticeship done well always requires relationship. We actually do this thing together. We become and grow together. We ambassador together. I love the subheading in this book. Like, if you don't own a copy of this, this should be required reading at Park Street. The subheading is this, that we are a pilgrim people following Jesus together. A pilgrim people. Brethren are a pilgrim people, people on a journey, people that are becoming together, following Jesus together. And the reason this is a big deal, because for much of my Christian journey, I've read passages like 2 Corinthians 5 with my Western lens, personalized, individualized. Do I look like Jesus? Do they look like Jesus? And maybe you do the thing where you compare and contrast. Did I go to enough classes? Am I tracking? Like, do I know enough scripture? How about others? Why are so many people so far ahead in their journey? And I'm struggling here. I need that prayer of confession, not only on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The reality is this, we need each other. Our witness as ambassadors, as the church, it is a corporate one. It's not just individualized. We have accountability through community. I grow in Christ, yes. We grow in Christ, yes. Scripture says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors. Together, the church, we are an ambassador. Collectively, corporately, as we live here in this community. One of the gifts of being in this church is also just to have wise leaders around, brethren leaders. It's kind of mecca of brethren. There's leaders here like Dale Stoffer. And he uses this phrase a lot. I'm sure it shows up in this book too, but I couldn't find it. But I know it's in there. He says, brethren is better caught than taught. It's not doctrine, it's community that shapes you. And I would argue being a follower of Jesus is better caught than taught. Being an ambassador for Christ is better caught than taught. If you are a part of a community, you will encounter who we are becoming. But when I hear that phrase, I do feel a bit convicted. Because if I look in the mirror and I reflect on this part of it, what are people actually catching when they're with me? Or when they're with us? Or when they're with you? Do they catch Jesus? Like, better caught than taught sounds fun, but like, what are people actually catching? Do they catch Jesus? Or do they catch cynicism? Do they catch gossip? Do they catch not Jesus, but just Josh Sumter? Once again, thank goodness for the prayer of confession so that I can repent, so that I can turn, so that I can surrender, so I can say things and sing things like more of Jesus and less of me. I was thinking about this imperfect journey of becoming like Jesus, and I just kind of wrestle with it like maybe I don't measure up. Ambassador? Really, me? And I stumbled across an interview with a pastor who's outside the Brethren tradition, who may have said things that you like or that you don't like, whatever. But he was musing on the topic of becoming. And I hadn't heard him talk about this before in this particular way. Reformed Baptist John Piper, he said this in an interview titled, and listen to the title of this article or this interview, I Know God Loves Me, But Does God Like Me? And he said this, and it lines up with Comer's words, it lines up with 2 Corinthians 5. He says this, God delights in, is pleased by what we are becoming in the power of the Holy Spirit. That actually sounds fairly brethren, okay? God delights in, is pleased by what we are becoming in the power of the Holy Spirit. I know this is hard for many people to believe, for many people to feel, because our experience is that if there's any part of our lives that's imperfect, this is what others pick up on and they complain about. Oh, the Christians, right? Ambassadors, right? Oh, yeah. They will not spot anything good. They will spot what we haven't yet accomplished. And we can never really be liked, but we're tolerated, I suppose. The focus is always on our shortcoming, not our successes. But I want to say loud and clear, God is not like that. God is not like that. God sees the incremental advances of our transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit, our becoming, and delights in them. God delights in our incremental, faithful next steps. And so you look around the room and people are at different places in their faith journey. Some people are just arriving. Some people have been coming for a long time, arriving for a long time, growing for a long time. And it's easy to do this comparison thing. I just want to say, stop. God delights in your next faithful step. God delights even in your imperfect steps. God delights when you show up and you say, I need that prayer of confession every day. God delights in your becoming. Just pull up the last slide here. It's always dangerous to talk about illustrations that you have no expertise on. Maybe that's ambassadorship. Perhaps it's butterflies. I love that Nate can talk about running because he actually does it. I think we can trust what he has to say. You can look up his times right now. The guy's pretty fast. Okay, I don't know much about butterflies. John Mark Comer says this is the perfect illustration for becoming. I don't know if it's perfect. It's good, not perfect. I'll talk about that in the benediction. But becoming like Jesus, we have the scene here, caterpillar, chrysalis, and butterfly. And Comer says that the Greek word for formation is morpho, right? Like metamorphosis. And I like his definition where he unpacks this. He says the process of transformation is from an immature form to an adult form. It's the process of growing up. And Comer says that there's no life hack for formation. It's long. It's often unseen. It's a process. And think about the caterpillar, right? It doesn't just grow wings, right? It's fundamentally shaped, reformed from the inside out. And spiritual formation is similar. There's deep inner change that takes place as we abide in Christ. It is a lifelong process of surrender. And becoming like Jesus isn't about just getting new habits. And those are things, they are good things, but it's actually about a new life. It's about a new creation emerging, that the old is gone and the new has come. Discipleship is not just about getting new information, new insights, new practices. You actually become a new entity, a new creation in Christ. A caterpillar doesn't just become a better caterpillar. It actually becomes something entirely different. Discipleship is similar. Following Jesus is not just about being nice or more moral. We actually become a different kind of person, a new creation in Christ, an ambassador. We become one who is living and loving like Jesus, one incremental step at a time. And so as we gather here in God's presence, I just go back to that initial question, who are you becoming? Who are we becoming? One of the rhythms here at Park Street that I appreciate, I don't always take advantage of, is that during the last song, our time of worship, there are prayer leaders who are often at the front. And so as you're thinking about who you are, as you're thinking about what does it mean to become like Jesus, it's okay to go up to those folks and just say, will you pray with me? Or here's the thing I'm thinking about, where I want to say yes to that. I am a Christian, but I am becoming one who is in Christ. An ambassador in Christ. We have individuals here that would love to pray with you. Let's pray together, and then we'll enter back into worship. Gracious and loving God, I give you thanks for who you are, that you are at work in each of our stories, and in a world that is constantly shaping us in so many directions, We are running a race, and there are things that attempt to hinder us, that are forming us. There is sin that easily entangles. May we fix our eyes on you, Jesus. As Paul kind of reframes his argument and says, hey, I'm getting your attention. Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus is resurrected for you. And so who are you becoming as you spend time with Jesus? May we recognize that we are all arriving, all becoming, all growing, and not just individually, but as a church. That we collectively are an ambassador for Christ. I can't do it alone, Jesus. I need the church. I need you. May you guide us by the power of your Holy Spirit. May we not be the same. Lord, I pray that for this church. May we not be the same. One step, one day, one conversation, one spiritual discipline at a time. May we look more like you, Jesus. Be with us. Guide us. May we know you and love you more each day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The illustration of the butterfly that I concluded with, the thing that kind of I don't jive with is the butterfly, the development, the metamorphosis, it happens and it's this one time. It's now a butterfly. It's really beautiful. It's unique. But in the Christian journey, at times, that development process, right? We abide, we stray, we return, we grow, and it's a bit more cyclical and not as linear. And so wherever you're at in that journey, I hope that today you seek out community, encouragement, accountability, prayer, as you continue to grow as ambassadors for Christ individually, but we're here as the church, an ambassador for Christ, and you are sent ones as you continue to grow and trust and seek and live out the calling that you've received as you follow Jesus. So go forth in that call in the name of Jesus. I've also been going here for about 7 months now, and so I feel like it's okay to say this, just as Nate does as he ends this service. Love you, church. Peace.